So first of all, everyone that appears in front of me is perfect. I've never had the problem. I love you all. So what if you added, Marvin, to the certification, a second signature line with a certification that says that the debtor's been advised, blah, 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 and whether it's a paralegal, whether it's a lawyer, but someone else signs that certification as well. Does that bring responsibility to the process? Because that's actually what I think is missing.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, that's why I would like the bar to tell me what it takes, because it is a problem. Yeah.
But here's the issue for me. I mean, when the lawyers file a document, a certification by their client, they're filing that document, and Rule 11 or 9011 applies. And frankly, I think your license also applies. By that, I mean if you are filing with the court documents you know are false, certifications that you know are false, you are putting your license on the line. And frankly, I've been seeing these things where, and these are pro ses who seem to kind of, I got a filing the other day where they filed something that looked like an order provided for all kinds of things that I never suggested. It wasn't signed, but they filed the doggone thing. And then they took it down to other people and said, here it is, it's docketed because it has this docketed thing and people think it's an order. Think about that. I see orders that were were absolutely fraudulent, which has been transferred or sent over to the U.S. Attorney's Office for prosecution. We're seeing more and more of those things where people think that it's sort of okay to play fast and loose to get what they want, and there seems to be some level of disrespect for the legal system itself. And you all, as members of the bar, as participants in the legal system, you have to also be vigilant in being guardians of that system. So when you're filing something, you should make sure that it's okay, whether you actually physically sign it or you're effectively signing it because you're uploading it filing it electronically. At the end of the day, even if that wasn't true, y'all are guardians of the system every bit as much as we are. And we need to work together to make sure that we protect the integrity of our system.
Let me tell you one thing I see all the time that just really pisses me off as a debtor's attorney. And that, I was at a creditor's meeting just recently where the debtor has a house they valued at $350,000 that they owe $425,000 on that they bought a year and a half ago. How did they get that far upside down that fast? Well, the question was asked, when did you buy it? What did you pay for it? Well, they paid $475,000 for it. And there's a loan, so there was an appraisal. Now, the argument is, well, they use Texas exemptions, so it doesn't matter because it's land area, not value. Except they lied, right? And it's like, you know, and what does the lawyer think? And one of the other problems in that case was, they put like $70,000 down, you know, 50 plus closing costs, which wasn't disclosed in the Statement of Financial Affairs for transfers not in the ordinary course of business. So it's like they kind of hit it too. That's just wrong.
I mean, I'm just saying there's a related issue out there to what you're describing, which is on Schedule B and C, you list your personalty and you say you have a $200 TV, but in your plan, you're saying the value of the TV is $2,000. How is it only worth $200 on Schedule B, but it's worth $2,000 in the plan because you don't want to have a fight with the lender on the TV? And we need to be careful. Those are both value certifications. So I just wish people would pay a lot of attention to what their clients are doing.
And I think that as far as I'm concerned, when you see those sorts of inconsistencies, you know, we have to judge truth and veracity of witnesses and debtors on a daily basis. And those sorts of inconsistencies don't bear well on your debtors when they testify. I look at the schedules and I go, why is there this glaring inconsistency that I can see after looking at the docket for 5 minutes? You should be more evident of what's going on in the case. So I do think it's very, very important.
I see a lot of cars that are valued at the amount of the secured debt when really they're valued a lot less, but because it doesn't affect how something might roll through the plan because it's a 910 car, people are swearing the car is worth $40,000 because they owe $40,000. No, if the car is worth $22,000 and you owe $40,000, that's what needs to be in the schedules. It may not affect how the plan works because it may be a 910 car, but it ought to be accurate.
And I often say, and I say this in court, schedules mean something. The schedules mean something. We file them for a reason. Their accuracy is important.